Good morning, brothers and sisters and young people, and a warm welcome to anyone who's listening in online as well. We hope that you're doing well, and welcome to our meeting here this morning. I am joined on the platform today by our brother Evan Franco, who will shortly give us words of exhortation. Our brother Evan has asked that we read from Judges chapter 16, verses 4 to the end. Now I'll ask our brother Evan Franco to come and exhort us and uplift us with words of encouragement around his theme, Samson's death to himself, taking up his cross. Brother Evan.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning, everybody. Now, Dan, a very important question. Have you drunk out of either of these two glasses?
No.
Right, so I'm free to take whichever... Right, in that case, I've got two. So our Bible class has recently been looking at Samson over the last three or so weeks. And what we notice with Samson is he's quite a different judge to the other judges that sort of go before him. He's not a very savoury character. And we've seen a lot of the problems that he had, a lot of the failings, particularly the moral failings that we see in Samson's life. And it's fairly graphic, the things that sort of come out with him. Now, in all the other judges, we actually see types of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, for example, you take Gideon, and we actually see a magnificent type of Christ, particularly in the overcoming of the Gogian Confederacy and all of that. You see with the likes of Ehud, a similar sort of thing. Deborah and Barak, we actually see the atonement played out in fairly graphic detail. It's a funny one, that one, because you can also see the return of Christ in that as well. But there's a lot of types of Christ throughout Judges. Samson doesn't fit that so much. However, when we get to the very last section of Samson's life, we can actually see in the way that he died the same principles that come out in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. What we see in Samson is a story of hope. And this, I think, is why the story is there. Not so much to give us encouragement in terms of looking to the future or anything like that, but to see Samson as someone just like us. Someone that fails continually, but that God didn't leave him. He never left him the whole time until right at the end. But even then, God's still there. All Samson had to do was to call to him. And he does, right at the end. So what this story really is all about is the atonement. And what we see in this section that we looked at this morning is Samson's death. His death. And we'll see that Samson's death was a precious death. A precious death to God. And death has two elements, doesn't it? It has two elements. We've got Samson's literal death in the collapsing of the Temple of Dagon, but we've also got Samson's death to himself. It's the psalmist in Psalm 116 who says, "Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints." When we think about that, we think, well, what does that actually mean? What does it actually mean? The precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. Is it talking about persecution? Not really. Is it talking about just dying? Again, not really. So what we think, what's it talking about? Well, it's actually a twofold death. It's about, first of all, us recognising our position before God and that we are sinners, and then it dying with Christ, and we go into the waters of baptism, we come out, and then continually putting to death the old man, taking up our cross, as it were. So that's the first part. And then, if we're faithful throughout our life and continually doing that, and we get to the end of our life having remained faithful, we die in Christ and await the resurrection. And that is what makes the death of God's saints precious. So Samson's death to Yahweh was precious. We know that because Samson's in Hebrews chapter 11. But what was it that made Samson's death so precious to God? What was it? Now we see in this passage here that Samson's death mirrors quite closely the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ in many ways. And as we know, in the atonement, death is a central facet. In fact, it's a very important facet, because it's through death, the death of a righteous man, that we're saved. It's vital. It's a central part of it. Without death, there can be no resurrection. Without death, or the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. Hebrews 2 verse 14. For as much then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself also took part of the same, that through death Jesus might be able to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. But what's the purpose of that? We read on and it says, to deliver them who through fear of death were subject to bondage. So death is central to the atonement. And Jesus' death is the way by which we have salvation. And we need to identify with that. That's why we get baptized. That's why we go under the waters of baptism. Symbolically identifying with putting to death sin. And then we rise, that new man or that new woman, to live to Christ. So with the understanding of the reality of death, there comes the promise of life. For since by death, by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. So we've got that twofold element. Hebrews 9 also says it's appointed for men once to die, but after this the judgment and the resurrection. So Christ was also offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So we've got that, yes, there's death, but there's life as a result of that. Death leads to life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So salvation, brothers and sisters, operates through the death of a righteous man. So death for us leads to life. And it requires us identifying with the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and what that means. For the world at large, death's a finality. That's it. Finished. There's no more. For us, death is only asleep. Because we have hope. Because we've identified with Christ, and that identification with him starts at our baptism. Maybe before, when we realise we've got to be baptised. And then continues on throughout our life. But what we need to do is we need to ask ourselves the question as to whether we see the issues of death and life now. And to ask ourselves, what is it about the death of Christ that is so important? Why do we need to identify with his death? Jesus' death was precious in the sight of God. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. How much more his son? Isaiah 53, it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. Peter calls the shed blood of Jesus precious. So what was it about Jesus' death that was so special? Well, it was no ordinary death, we know that. It was something that showed something. And the answer to life from death lies in what Jesus was exhibiting in his own death. And in Samson, we see a man who died. And like our Lord Jesus Christ, achieved a great deal in his death. Literally for Samson, 3,000 people, the temple of Dagon, Yahweh's victorious. That's a fair bit. God's been glorified. But spiritually for Samson, it was what was leading up to it in his attitude. Let's go to Judges chapter 16. There's a lot of similarities between the way our Lord Jesus Christ and Samson died. We want to just have a look at both of these. Verse 30. Judges 16, verse 30. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." His death was voluntary. No one was forcing him. His death was voluntary. So is our Lord Jesus Christ. "Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." Jesus' death was voluntary. His work was to die and to rise again, and he was the one that had the authority to lay it down and to take it again. Philippians 2 verse 8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." In other words, no one had control over Jesus' death except himself. And he voluntarily went to the cross. And as a result of his obedience, he was raised. And God's highly exalted him. Highly exalted him above everything and anything else. What was Jesus' death saying to us? What was it saying to us? Through his actions in voluntarily going to the cross, what Jesus was doing was demonstrating certain principles for us. Firstly, we see God is glorified. In the same way that we see that Yahweh is glorified in the death of Samson, the destruction of those who represent sin in the temple of Dagon, one man died compared to 3,000. Brings to mind the principles of Genesis 3:15, doesn't it? "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." A fatal, crushing blow to the Philistines, but a small blow to Israel. A small bruise to Samson himself, because he's going to rise again. God needed to be glorified in Jesus' death, and he was. And the same thing happened with Samson. See, in the temple of Dagon, this wasn't just about Samson. This was about Dagon versus Yahweh. And what the people in the Philistines had done is they'd actually gathered together and they were pitting Dagon against Yahweh. Have a look in verse 23 of chapter 16. "Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their God and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has delivered into our hands, our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." Interestingly, they're also gathered there for a sacrifice. Now, it's been suggested by some commentators that Samson was supposed to be the sacrifice, which just brings home some of those links with Christ even more. Samson in his death was actually declaring God as victorious. Not Dagon, God, Yahweh. That Yahweh is God. And that Yahweh is right in destroying the Philistines. That God was right in saying that sin deserves death, as it were. He was declaring that Yahweh was the only God and that his judgments are right. And that's exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did when he identified with sin. And while Jesus didn't sin himself, he saw sin at its worst, didn't he? With the Jewish leaders at his crucifixion, he experienced them mocking. He experienced the jeers. He experienced them spitting in his face and pulling out his beard. He experienced them pressing that crown of thorns down onto his skull. He experienced the scourging, the ripping off of the flesh. He experienced all of that, and he saw flesh at its worst. All because of envy. Jesus experienced the consequences of sin at its very worst, and he didn't shy away from saying that sin deserves death. And in this, our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, experienced what we experience. He experienced that. He saw that. He saw all the ugliness of sin. And he said that sin deserves death. Samson also experienced the mocking of the crowd. Verse 25, "And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they said, 'Oh, call for Samson, that he may make us sport or be for entertainment for us.' And they called Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." Sport just means to laugh at them outright. You can just imagine what they'd be saying to Samson. "Where's your strength, Samson? Where's your God, Samson? If you're God's judge, why don't you help yourself? Who struck you, Samson? You got no eyes." Similar sorts of things to what our Lord Jesus Christ would be experiencing or was going to experience later on. But it was Samson's own sin that brought him here. It was his own stupidity that brought him to this place, following his own lusts. But Jesus had done nothing wrong. We think about our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in his death enduring the mocking, enduring the jeers of the Jewish leaders and the people. And they passed by and they railed on him in Mark 15, wagging their heads, saying, "Oh, you that destroyed the temple, build it in 3 days, save thyself, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Jesus experienced that. The same sorts of things that Samson would be experiencing. He saw what sin deserves from a man's perspective, but he also saw it from God's perspective. And he saw it from what it meant. "The reproaches of them that fell on thee have fallen on me," is what God says about Israel. So what Israel experienced, God experienced. And when he's looking down on his son, even though Jesus is going through all these things, God's experiencing that. He's looking at it and his heart would be broken to see his son going through that. And Jesus is able to say that God is right in condemning sin. And to be looking down on this, being so upset with the situation, God felt it as well. He endured with Christ, and I believe he endured with Samson. And when we go through those kind of things, he endures with us. And he feels what we feel. "In all their afflictions, I was afflicted." He feels their pain. He feels our pain. You can imagine God just looking down from heaven on Samson, standing there, this bedraggled man, a shadow of his former self, a man who was supposed to be God's representative as a Nazarite, being mocked mercilessly. And the jeers not being made against Samson only, but also against God. In Jesus' death, Jesus is saying God is right. And Samson's whole attitude in the latter part of this chapter is saying exactly the same thing. Because Samson, he was saying God is right. Samson acknowledged, "I deserve to die." And he willingly went to his death. Samson is saying, "God is the source of my strength." Samson is saying, "Yahweh is God, not Dagon." And God was glorified as a result. Jesus' death is exhibiting that man is mortal. We are rightly related to death, both through birth and also through sin. But Jesus' obedience to death, in that he showed a character that glorified God, saying that God's method of salvation is right, a method whereby sin is condemned and righteousness is upheld. But what about us? Where does that leave us? Well, we need to face the facts and accept that death is the right and just thing for sinners. God is a just God, and sin deserves death. but he's also a saviour. And we're saved through Christ. Of course, our living to Christ also involves death. It's death to self. Dying to our own selfish desires and living to Christ. It's about taking on the words of the Apostle Paul. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Luke 9. And Jesus said to them all, if any man will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a present death. It's dying to self. But what's the outcome? For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, take up his cross, die to self, for my sake, the same shall save it. Our death involves a present death. It's about dying to ourselves, ridding ourselves of ourselves. And in that way, our death is precious in the sight of God. And that's something Samson had to learn. And it took him his whole life to learn it. And we know about the problem Samson had. We know the issues that he had, the problem of him following his own eyes, of his lust, which drew him away when he saw the woman of Timnath. He saw the harlot in chapter 16. He sees Delilah, and he did nothing about it. We know his issues in marrying the Timnite woman, how he's going against the principles of separation to God, right against the whole point of his Nazarite vow. We saw the issues with him going against the wishes of his parents, disregarding his Nazarite vow, going near the corpse of a lion, making himself unclean, going to the drinking feast and that big bucks party, using the unclean jaw of an ass, making himself unclean. And then ultimately turning his back on God. He had issues. Samson had problems in his life, and ultimately his pride. I know we've had a brief look at this before, but Samson's pride is enormous in the record. It's something that Josephus even mentions as well. And time after time after time after time after time after time after time, it talks about me, Samson. I will do this. I will do that. I will get vengeance. It's my strength. I've seen a woman of Timnath. Get it for me. That needed to get put away from Samson. That's something that needed to die in Samson. All his problems, all his lusts, all his biases, all his temptation to sin, all those things that he would follow after and do, needed to be put to death. They needed to be crucified, as it were. And God helped him in that. Verse 21, Judges 16, verse 21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better to enter into life maimed than not at all. God helped him deal with his eyes. There would be no more following after the lust of the eyes that we've seen with Samson. And he's set to grinding in the mill. And he'd be there day after day after day, just pushing around this big stone in a circle. Day after day. And be thinking about the process of milling. And he'd think about milling being the work of women. And his mind would go to the women in his life. It'd go to his faithful mother. How he disrespected his parents. And now he's here in the mill. And God's left him. In the mill, the women looked after it. But the animal that actually did most of the milling was actually a donkey. And you think about the victory that God had had over the Philistines through the jawbone of an ass. And you think about his own stupidity in boasting that it was about his own strength. And here he is. And God's left him. What was it that he was milling? Wheat. Corn. And his mind would go to the 300 foxes that he used to destroy the crops, the fields, the vineyards of the Philistines. He destroyed them before, and now he's working to feed them. And God's left him. And you think about the shame that his stupid actions with Delilah have brought, not only on himself, but also on God. And he'd empty himself of all his pride. You couldn't be proud in that situation. And we see a man, brethren and sisters, who has been humbled, who doesn't trust in himself anymore. He's emptied himself of his own self-will and seeing that God is right in his punishment of Samson. And it's at that point that he takes his Nazarite vow again. Verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Samson has died to himself and is now living to God. And precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of Samson. And now he's brought out of the crowd. Verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house stands, that I may lean upon them. And that once strong man who was able to tear apart lions, who was able to kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass, is reduced to this pathetic figure. Hearing the jeers now and hearing the blasphemy against God, it would make him so ashamed. He needs to be led around by this young boy. And he leans on these two pillars in the temple of Dagon. His arms are outstretched. You think, oh, that looks familiar. Samson sees the reality of death very clearly now. And just like our Lord Jesus Christ, he faces it in prayer. Verse 28. And Samson called unto Yahweh and said, O Lord Yahweh, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. At that point in time, the key thing that the Philistines, I think, would be mocking Samson for was his eyes. Some people say this might be a selfish prayer. I don't think so. This is a humble Samson, a totally different Samson than we've seen up to now. And he prays to God for strength. He sees God as the source of his strength. He doesn't presume that God is going to help him. He asks God to help him. Remember me, O God, and strengthen me only this once, he says. And this is how we die, in prayer. And prayer is a vital component of our death to self and life to Christ. You know what? That is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ did. Let's go to Psalm 22. No, Psalm 22 is about a messianic psalm, about our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this is a reference to this psalm is the one that he uttered on the cross. When Eloi lama sabachthani is what he says, which is verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Could be said of Samson too, couldn't it? God's left him. Why are you so far from helping me and from my word, for the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. God's left Samson. An indication in his prayer later that we think he said he feels like God has left him. Remember me, O God, he says. Remember me, as though he feels like he's been forgotten. Verse 6, I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people, could be said of Samson. There's Samson being mocked, being jeered at, a reproach of men. He'd think of himself like a dog in the house of the Philistines, of Gentile dogs that he wanted to be a part of at one point. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake their head. Which is exactly what happened to Samson. Verse 9. But thou art he who took me out of the womb, like Samson, a Nazarite from his mother's womb by God's command. You did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. Be not far from me, verse 11, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And there's Samson in the temple of Dagon, alone. No one there to help him. Verse 15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. See, Samson is experiencing what our Lord Jesus Christ experienced. And just like Christ, he prays. You know, we know that this psalm is actually broken into two distinct parts, don't we? We know the first part up to, I think, verse 21 is talking about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then in verse 22, it starts with the resurrection, where Christ has been raised, verse 22. I will declare, once he's raised, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And I just wonder whether Samson's going to be doing exactly the same thing. When Samson awakes out of the dust of the ground, I personally believe that he's going to be giving God praise. Samson died a very humble man. We just think about the impact that Samson's death had on others. Come back to Judges 16. Let's pick it up in verse 30. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And we think about the impact of Samson's death and what it had for him and what it showed to others. Then all his brethren and all his house, the house of his father, came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. You just imagine when Samson awakes from the dust of the ground and he's raised. You imagine what he's going to feel when he sees the impact of this event and his dying to self has had on others. How that his brethren went down to Gaza, removed his body from a Philistine grave, and put it in his own inheritance. The inheritance we've seen, like, multiple times is so important to Samson. How that his once weak as water brethren actually rallied around him at his death. And when he learns how much of an inspiration his life and his death have been for brothers and sisters over the last 3,000 years. That God can forgive sin. And that his story gives hope to all of us, because every single one of us fail. God can forgive and God can lift us up and he can win the victory. And that he will work with us to bring us into the kingdom, sometimes despite ourselves. So Samson's death, brothers and sisters, was precious. in the sight of Yahweh. And if we take on that same attitude in our own lives, then so too will ours be.